Hallelujah, Christ is risen. Transgressions unto the Lord.
Both now and in
upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office, have been called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in this step, and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
I am the Good Shepherd.
I know my own, and my own know me, and I have laid down my life for the sheep.
The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
He maketh me to lie down in green pastures.
He leadeth me beside the still waters.
He restoreth my soul.
He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake.
Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me.
Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me.
Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies.
Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over.
Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life.
And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
God, merciful Father, since you have wakened from death the shepherd of your sheep, grant us your Holy Spirit, that when we hear the voice of our shepherd, we may know him who calls us each by name and follow where he leads. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the fourth Sunday of Easter is from the book of Acts, the fourth chapter. As Peter and John were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, greatly annoyed because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they arrested them and put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. But many of those who had heard the word believed, and the number of the men came to about 5,000. On the next day, their rulers and elders and scribes gathered together in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander, and all who were of the high priestly family. And when they had set them in the midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven, given among men, by which we must be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
second reading is from the first letter of St. John, the third chapter. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. By this we shall know that we are of the truth and reassure our hearts before him. For whenever our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and whatever we ask, we receive from him, because we keep his commandments and do what pleases him. And this is his commandment, that we believe in the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded us. Whoever keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in them. And by this we know that he abides in us, by the Spirit whom he has given us. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. John, the 10th chapter. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Our reading is the first reading from the book of Acts, chapter 4. I will reread the final five verses. Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are being examined today concerning a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." This is our text. Why do people oppose Christianity? What is it about the Christian faith that most disturbs and annoys people? I'm sure that we could name many different Christian teachings or practices that others find hard or offensive, but the most disturbing claim of Christianity is this: that Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. The world cannot stand the resurrection. It can handle a Jesus who is a good teacher, a Jesus who is crucified, dead, and buried, so long as he stays quietly and safely tucked away in a tomb. But a risen Jesus, a good shepherd who takes up his life again, who calls his own sheep by name, who leads them in and out, who protects them and feeds them, that's too much, too active, too alive and real, too close. Because if Jesus was like that, then they would have to follow him and listen to him and find salvation in him alone. Perhaps you think that I'm overstating the case, though. When I say the resurrection is the reason people oppose Christianity, you might think that's an exaggeration. But Pastor, that isn't what disturbs my friends and family. They're more bothered and offended by our beliefs about all those hot-button social issues. And it's true. We do know people disturbed by our belief that babies in their mothers' wombs are human beings with inherent dignity and worth. We know people disturbed by our belief that there's a difference between men and women. We know people disturbed by our belief that marriage unites a man and a woman with one another and with any children born to their union. These teachings and many others do disturb people. There's no doubt about it. And who knows? There may be some of you here today who are a bit uncomfortable with me even bringing up these topics. So aren't those the main issue? Aren't those the biggest reason that people oppose Christianity? No, I don't think so. Yes, we do believe that abortion ends lives. We do believe that human beings come in two unchangeable sexes. We do believe that marriage is for a man and a woman. But the heart of the Christian faith isn't just an idea or a principle. The heart of the Christian faith is a person, Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call the Christ, and a particular claim about this person, that having been put to death by crucifixion, on the third day he rose again, and even now lives and reigns to all eternity. For the world, I submit to you, that's the problem with Christianity.
It's not just that they oppose this practice or that teaching. Jesus, risen and alive, is the problem. Whether they realize it or not, it's his resurrection that disturbs them most of all. Why? Because if Jesus is really risen from the dead, then his name is above all names. Then he truly has all authority in heaven and on earth. Then he really must be the way of salvation. Think of it like this. If Jesus really did rise from the dead, if he is the rejected stone who became the cornerstone, then he must be the Lord. And if he's the Lord, then he must be the highest authority and the one source of salvation. And if he's the authority, then Holy Scripture, the Old and New Testaments, have authority because they reveal him to be the true Lord. And so they must be true in the same way. And if that's the case, then because Jesus is risen from the dead, all those other things fall into place as well, including our beliefs about the unborn, about the sexes, men and women, and marriage. Jesus, our living Lord, is the good shepherd of his people, and he would gather all into his flock. And what we and the world have to wrestle with is not this teaching or that teaching, but the fact that the tomb was empty, and the women saw him alive, and he appeared to the disciples in the upper room. And he met them by the sea and fed them breakfast. And he showed up with the two men on the road to Emmaus and revealed himself in the breaking of the bread and in the scriptures. It all hinges on that most beautiful and most profound and most disturbing claim that Jesus is risen from the dead. The proclamation of the resurrection is a fact that has happened, and it comes as a threat to the world. That's the case today, and that's also how it was in the time of the apostles. What we heard in Acts chapter 4 was the fallout from what happened in Acts chapter 3. In Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are going to the temple when a man who is lame asks them for silver or gold. Peter turns out his pockets. He says, "Silver and gold, I don't have any. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise and walk." And then the crowds were so amazed by what had happened that they gather there in the temple to listen to Peter preaching the resurrection of Jesus. And that's what leads to our text today. The Jewish leaders are angered by what they see and hear. They thought that getting rid of Jesus, the leader, would bring his whole movement to an end. Strike the shepherd, and the scattered sheep will easily be lamb chops. Cut off the head, and the body will die. Crucify Jesus, and that'll be an end of Christianity. And for a few days, it looked like it worked. When Jesus was led to the cross, the sheep split. His followers fell apart. They betrayed him. They denied him. They went into mourning. They went into hiding. And by all accounts, that should have been it. That should have been the end. Goodbye, Jesus. Arrivederci, disciples. But here's Peter, preaching in the temple. Thousands of people hearing and believing. And it's Peter, of all people. I mean, you remember him. He's the one who was scared of the little servant girl while they were standing around the fire in the courtyard and Jesus was on trial. He's the one who said, not once, not twice, but three times, that he never knew the man Jesus and had no idea who that guy was. And now here he is, in the temple, in front of the Jewish leaders, to thousands of people, proclaiming that Jesus is risen from the dead. What happened to this timid disciple? This sheep has a new boldness. He has a new confidence. He's not scared anymore. Now he really is ready to do what he promised. Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. Now he can face the persecution foretold by Jesus. They will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you'll be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. For my name's sake. Preaching the resurrection in Jesus' name provokes the hatred of the world and persecution. And why is Peter doing this? Because Peter not only believes, but has seen that Jesus really is risen from the dead. That makes all the difference. The resurrection of Jesus is the difference between Peter denying that he knows the Lord and Peter confessing the Lord before others. The resurrection of Jesus is the difference between someone who will run and hide and someone who will stand and confess. This is all happening in the afternoon. The book of Acts tells us that it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's the hour when they would typically offer the evening sacrifice and the incense offering. And I wonder if the priests weren't disturbed, not only by the fact that you had a crowd gathered around Peter, but because the crowds of people were forgetting about the sacrifices and the offerings in their excitement over the lame man being healed. The captain of the temple comes as well. He's the head, you might call him the head of the temple police. And he's there, concerned because the peace is being disturbed. And the Sadducees are driven absolutely crazy because they don't even believe that resurrection is possible. And yet they can't deny the fact that a lame man has been healed in the name of one who it said is risen from the dead. The end result is that Peter and John are arrested and they are kept in custody until the following day. And the Jewish leaders can do that. They can arrest the disciples. They can throw them into prison. They did it to Jesus. They can do it to his followers. But what they can't do is this. They cannot stop the power of the word that Peter had been preaching. They cannot stop the power of the confession that Jesus is risen from the dead. So Peter and John are in custody, and at the same time, many thousands hear the word and believe. Where does Peter get this boldness? They ask him, "By what power are you doing this miracle? By what authority are you doing this? What name is it that you used to heal the man? What name did you preach in the temple?" And Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. This is not simply the gift of the Holy Spirit that is given to every Christian by virtue of our baptism. This is a special gift of the Holy Spirit that Jesus promised when he said, "When they bring you to trial and deliver you over, do not be anxious beforehand what you are to say, but say whatever is given you in that hour. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." It is the Holy Spirit who speaks through Peter. It is the Holy Spirit who leads him to say, if we're being examined today because of a good deed done to a crippled man, by what means this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. Peter would go on much later to write to Christians in Asia Minor these words, "It is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil." And so it is that Peter himself suffered for doing good, the good of healing the man who was born lame, and the good of preaching the name of Jesus Christ risen from the dead. This was the first time that he was arrested for the name of Jesus, but it wouldn't be the last. And as I said earlier, what confidence does Peter have? It is the confidence that Jesus is risen from the dead, and the confidence that Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will raise him from the dead. Peter knows and believes that there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved, except the name of Jesus alone. The one who himself was accursed like sin, the one who was rejected and hung on a tree, the one who on the third day burst from the tomb as the second Adam, the cornerstone who is able to support the entire temple, his body, the church. Peter did what he did because he believed that Christianity is the one true faith, because he knew that Jesus was risen from the dead. He proclaimed Jesus as that source of salvation. And Jesus is named to you this day as that same source of salvation. The world would love if there were many ways to salvation. They would love if there were many ways to heaven. They would be fine with us saying that Jesus is a means of salvation, a way to eternal life. But he is the only one who has come back from the dead, never to die again. He is the only one who lives and reigns to all eternity, and so he is the only way, the one way, the way for us. And that is why we are gathered here today. And it is why we continue to preach the name of Jesus Christ and proclaim his resurrection to our friends and our family and our neighbors and strangers, because we want them to know the way as well. And when I say that, I do want to encourage you, as you bear witness to Christ, bear witness, first of all, to his death and resurrection. There are a lot of other topics that people might want to take up with you. There are a lot of other issues that might be on their hearts and minds about what Christians believe. But begin with this. Begin with the fact that Jesus is not dead, but alive. Begin with the reality that the Good Shepherd who laid down his life has taken it up again, and he has taken up his life to gather a flock for himself. And he has taken up his life, and he comes before you this day, risen and alive. He comes to you and speaks to you his word. He says, "You are my sheep, and I am your shepherd. Follow me wherever that leads. Listen to my word, whatever I say. Receive my gifts, whatever I give. For I would be your shepherd, and I would have you with me now and forever." Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, do not be afraid of those who oppose Christianity. Do not be afraid that the world chafes at the resurrection of Jesus. But live as one who knows that your shepherd is alive and risen, and that he goes before you now in life, and he has gone before you in death, that you might live with him forever. In his name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, my strength, I love you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
That the good shepherd, having sought out his sheep and gathered us into one flock, would keep us in his fold and guard us from every evil. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who have wandered from the flock of God, and for the faithful shepherds who gather them through God's word, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For an increase in the love of Christians one to another, especially within our own homes, that we may daily show our confidence in God by deed and truth, laying down our lives as Christ first did for us. For all expectant mothers and their unborn children, especially Jillian and Liz. And for Sue, that the Lord would keep her safe in her travels and bless her time with family. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of good government, that as the Paschal Lamb has made peace between man and God, so he would grant peace and good days also to our citizens and between the nations of the world, especially amid the conflict and unrest in Gaza, Haiti, Israel, and Ukraine, and that we and our neighbors may lead quiet lives in godly contentment. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
In thanksgiving for our risen Christ, the first fruits from the dead, who has secured forgiveness for our troubled consciences, that he would also bless with temporal health those who suffer, especially Alice, Graham, Rosemarie, Kimberly, Bobby and Carol, Mona, Audrey, Rose, Emily, Nancy Jane, Peter and Janine, Alicia, Nancy, Ted, Gwen, Ed, Kate, Rick, Earl, Stan, and John. With thanksgiving for hearing our prayers on behalf of Amara and Dick, for the comfort of those who mourn, especially the Beauvais, Ewing, and Lottie families, and that he would grant us aid not only in this moment, but also true immortal health in the world to come. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For those who come to the Lord's Supper this day, that our good shepherd would calm all fears in this valley of the shadow of death through the holy table here prepared in the presence of our enemies, that he would give us repentance and an increase of faith, and that in every tribulation or besetting sin, he would lead us to find comfort and strength in the overflowing mercy given to us in this sacrament. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord God, out of your fatherly goodness, you have remembered us poor, miserable sinners, and given your beloved Son to be our shepherd, not only to nourish us by his word, but also to defend us from sin, death, and the devil. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we also may know the good shepherd, trust him, seek help and comfort in him, cheerfully obey his voice, and obtain eternal salvation. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God. And most especially are we bound to praise you on this day for the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, the very Paschal Lamb, who was sacrificed for us and bore the sins of the world. By his dying, he has destroyed death, and by his rising again, he has restored to us everlasting life. Therefore, with Mary Magdalene, Peter, and John, and with all the witnesses of the resurrection, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Our reading today is from 1 Peter, from the first chapter, starting at the 21st verse. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. For this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you to example, so that you might follow in his footsteps. He committed no sin, neither was he deceit found in his mouth. When he reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin, and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Christ himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your soul.
which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Sacrament you have given us, a remembrance of your passion, grant that we may so receive the sacrament mystery of your body and blood that the fruits of your redemption may continually be manifest in us. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.